From what we are learning about desire in the lab to what the theater can teach us, it's another topic that may be inappropriate for young ears. So, an hysterical paroxysm, what might that be? Well, in the Victorian era, it meant a female orgasm. It was believed to be a cure for a condition known as female hysteria, a once common medical diagnosis for irritability, loss of appetite for food or sex, and a tendency to cause trouble. Now, nowadays, those are some of the symptoms of depression, but in 1859, a physician claimed that a quarter of all women suffered from, quote, hysteria. The medical belief was that genital massages leading to an orgasm could cure hysteria. And by the mid-19th century, doctors had created a massage machine that vibrated. That's right, ladies, the vibrator was invented before the light bulb. How about that? Sarah Rule's new play entitled In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play, explores the life of Dr. Givings, who treats women for hysteria with electric massage. And his young wife, Catherine Givings, who, intrigued, wants to know what's going on in the room next door. It's a meditation about relationships and intimacy. And Sarah Rule, the playwright, joins us now to talk about it. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me.
How did you come up with this idea?
Well, someone had given me this really brilliant book by Rachel Maines called The Technology of Orgasm. And as far as I know, it's sort of the only comprehensive history of the vibrator out there. And she had been interested in the history of leisure, of all things, and she came across these magazine clippings from the Ladies' Home Journal and other publications advertising the vibrator right along with the electric kettle and other, you know, sundry domestic equipment, and thought, is this what I think it is? And so she set out to write this book, and I was amazed by two premises that I had never heard before. First, that doctors use vibrators to treat hysteria, and also that before the vibrator was invented, they treated women manually, you know, with digital massage for hysteria. I just had no idea. So it didn't immediately occur to me that this was a play, but it was kind of in the back of my mind as something I was fascinated by. And then when I was approached to write a play, I'd always wanted to write sort of a costume drama, a 19th century costume drama, and thought, wouldn't it be interesting to write one, but with all the things that are left out of the 19th century novel, usually.
One of the revelations of the play is just how unaware people could be of their own bodies. I just want to play a short clip. This is a scene where the doctor's wife, Mrs. Givings, and her friend call over Catherine's wet nurse to ask if she's ever experienced some strange sensations. Here it is.
Have you ever had this sensation either? You feel shivers all over your body, and you feel like running, and your feet get very hot as though you're dancing on devil's coal.
Or you see unaccountable patterns of lights, of electricity under your eyelids, and your heart races, and your legs feel very weak as though you cannot walk.
And your face gets suddenly hot, like a strange sudden sunburn.
Or there are red splotches up one side of your entire body. A strange rash here.
And the feeling of burning as though you'll get no relief, and your mouth is dry, and you lick your lips, and you find your face is making an ugly expression, so you cover your face with your hands.
And sometimes a great outpouring of liquid and the sheets are wet. Oh. But it's not an unpleasant sensation, but a little frightening. Is that a riddle?
Has that ever happened to you?
I do not know. The sensations are so contradictory. Does anything unite them?
Well, many of them are down below.
Oh, I see. Well, the things you describe, some of them seem to be sensations that an invalid would have, or someone with a horrible fever, but others sound like sensations that women might have when they're having relations with their husbands. I'm sorry. Perhaps you were joking. Perhaps I shouldn't have said...
With their husbands?
How interesting.
Those sensations you were describing, they're not from having relations with your husband.
Good heavens, no!
My favorite is the laugh where they just think, oh, how ridiculous. How ridiculous. We just had a conversation with Lori Brado, mm-hmm. who's a psychologist studying, researching quite seriously this whole question of desire. How does it work? Mm-hmm. And we talked about the fact that we are in a very sex-exposed society. We talk mm-hmm. about sex a lot. And I'm curious how you imagined a time when women really did not know what was going on with their bodies, were not encouraged to know.
Well, that was a fascinating entry point for me into the play, the notion that these women had no language for what was physically happening to them, that there was a kind of innocence surrounding the whole thing, not only for the women, but also for the doctor, oddly enough. I mean, I think We might imagine with hindsight that the doctors were sort of perverse or getting some kind of perverse pleasure from this and that they were winking and nodding. But truly, everyone was so innocent about it. It was though there was some amazing cultural amnesia about female sexuality in the Victorian age, because certainly in the Renaissance or in BC China or India, people knew exactly how to talk about a female orgasm and how to produce one, but suddenly women lost the language for it. So that was fascinating for me, just in terms of being a playwright and being interested in language, how these women grappled with expressing themselves for the first time about the experience of having an orgasm.
I know you've been quoted as saying this really isn't about, you know, vibrators per se, it's really about intimacy. And the play's been getting wonderful reviews, so congratulations to you for that. But what do you think it is that people are responding to in this play? Do you have a sense that for all of our talking about sex and having it all in our face all the time, that we really haven't advanced that much at all?
We live in a kind of pornographic culture, pornography gone mainstream, and so we think of ourselves as so savvy about sexuality because it's so ever-present. But I think in terms of the true integration of one's emotional life with one's physical life, I think in a way we've gone round the bend the other way, that a certain kind of conversation about sexuality is so prevalent and in your face that we lose the delicacy of how to marry an emotional life to a physical life.
Do you have any idea what would make it better?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think the title of the play, In the Next Room, has to do with compartmentalization and people being in separate rooms, even though they're married or even though they're in close proximity to each other. So I think kind of getting out of your own room of your own mind or your own body and being, you know, metaphorically in the same room as someone else, whether it be your partner, whoever you're having sex with, your husband, your wife, you know, what have you. I think getting in the same room is kind of the dream of the play in a way, although at the end they're actually in a garden, they're not in a room at all. But I don't know what to say about it, because on one hand, we all thought frank communication would solve the problem, and there's plenty of frank communication going on, so maybe it's something more subtle than that.
Sarah Rule's new play is titled In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play. It is now playing at Lincoln Center in New York. Thank you so much for speaking with us, and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me.